greatest things about Bill Hagner was he's not only with the Lord now, was he was a prayer warrior. And he said, oh God, let your church come to the throne. Amen. God wants to bring you to the throne. He wants you to enjoy throne life right now. In this life, by one Jesus Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And a lot of people get a little scared because their appetite is limited. The saddest when a person can handle an hour to 2 hours of Fox and yet can't sit for 10 minutes under the Word of God before their mind is somewhere else. God is calling us for fullness. Why don't we have the hunger? Because we're not willing to be empty of the things of this world. God wants to empty you of everything you're putting your trust in, so that all that's left is Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Not you with it, but Him. That we need to fill our lives with Jesus, all that He is. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of work in us. And I've heard a lot of preachers preach this verse when they want to see people get healed. Or, brother, I'm coming to you and I'm in financial difficulty. And the pastor says, well, believe abundantly above all that you ask or think, and you'll be rich. And this has nothing to do with wealth. It has nothing to do with natural provision. Because my God will supply all your needs. He's already done it. This is talking about our spiritual inheritance. Praise God. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ through all ages, world without end. And I'm not going to try to examine the ages that are going to come beyond the second coming. I can't wait to get there to see how many ages there are, if there is any out there. But all this is talking about is right to the end, Jesus will have glory in the church. And if you check your history book, you'll find that Jesus always had a church. Amen. The best church that Jesus had in His ministry, before Him, the book of Acts, was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It was a good church. Three people. But they loved Him. And Jesus could share things with them that He couldn't do. And there was an extravagant giving spirit in these people. As we become more and more into Christ, we become extravagant with our tithe, with our giving. It's not that somebody pumps the well for us to give tithe and offering. We should become extravagant. Instead of having these issues about should I give or shouldn't I give, we should just say, God, you gave to me. Let me give. I remember one time we had a situation where we were really struggling financially and we had a car loan. I've given away a lot of cars. And once in a while, somebody gives one to me. I've given a lot of cars away, hardly not, and even when we've been scrapped. And, you know, God's saying this, that freely you receive, now you're free to give. Amen? He doesn't make us rich so that we can just hoard it for ourselves.
Amen.
So, I'm sitting in a meeting one time in this church. And the preacher was preaching, he was preaching faith and prosperity, and I didn't agree with that, his message. But he was the church I was a part of, the pastor was struggling big time financially. And God convicted me with this kind of preaching that I should put a car payment on a car that wouldn't run in that offering. My wife turned to me, she says, you realize we're not going to be able to pay our car payment for this month on this jalopy that isn't run. I said, the Lord just told me, do that. And the next morning, I went to the post office, and there was a $4,000 check in the mail written out to Bert and Arlene. And I went in there singing that song that was, they used to sing in the FDR era in World War II, Happy Days Are Here Again. It's not anointed. It's not anointed. And when they came out of the Depression, that's what they sung in America. Amen. I didn't think twice. And so, you know, should I give offering? Should I give a tithe? What should I do? It wasn't time to jangle about doctrine. It was time to obey God.
Amen.
Amen. And step out in faith. Cast your bread on the water. And they shall come back to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, some of these things have just become part of me. I can't go over and wrangle about the doctrines of these of financial giving. It's time I will walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Let's close this message in Revelation 21. Praise God. The man is measuring. He's measuring the church. He wants the church to be the exact measurement of the Son of God. We don't have the time to go over to Hebrews chapter 1. The verse 2, it talks about Jesus. And that's what the Hebrew church had lost track of. They went back under the old doctrine because they had lost the person of Christ. The book of Hebrews has two themes, the work and the person of Christ. So often, we are caught up with the work of Christ. He forgave me. He saved me. I can keep coming to him for this and that. But we forget about the person of Christ. And we as ministers can be so caught up in the work of the ministry that we forget about the person of Christ. And that's when the pride begins to break into our life. We think who we are. After a while, we begin taking credit for the blessings. We begin acting in our testimony and our sharing as if we saved ourselves. You know, Paul didn't tell his testimony morning, noon, and night, by the way. Did you know that? He told it at strategic times because he knew it was the grace of God that saved him. And God gave him an opportunity to be given. He didn't run around to every single person. How come everybody doesn't want to hear your testimony? And yet, when you're dealing with cult people, you can't argue with them about the Bible because they have their own Bible. They don't want yours. So when I minister to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, I begin to tell them my testimony right at the door. And I say, can you do better than that? If you can do better, you're welcome. They walk out the door. They walk out the door. Your time and your testimony is the best thing you can use when you're dealing with people. Because they can argue with you about scripture, but they can't argue with you about your testimony.
Amen.
Praise God. But I love Revelation 20. And so, in Hebrews 2, he says he purged our sins. I'm very glad for that. But it also says he's interceding at the right hand of the Father for you and me. So, it doesn't stop with salvation. Because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, he's now interceding for you and me all the time. But there's something else there that needs to catch our eye for those that dare to go to the fullness. It says that he's the express image of the Father. Praise God. I was sitting in a meeting one time with Brother Johnson in the pulpit. Brother Johnson used to make like 5 translations. He figured if he couldn't get you with one, he'd get you with the other. He was over there. But there was never a time that I didn't be encouraged by the West message he brought. And he read out of the New English Bible. What he read was that Jesus is the stamped print of Christ, of God. The stamped print, exactly like him, the full representation of who he is. There's no deviation in Jesus, no shadow of turning. He's exactly like the Father. And if we are in Christ, we are to be the exact measurement, exactly of what he is. Amen?
Amen.
And this is where he's going to end in Revelation. He's going to have a city that's going to have the exact measurement. And by the way, not everybody gets into this city. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not trying to say just going to church gets into the city, but it's a transformation of lifestyle and of thinking that begins to bring you into that place. Amen? And so we're seeing here in Revelation 21, and we're looking in verse 11. And all I'm hearing about today, bad news, fake news, and other news is out there, is that this thing is going to end with nuclear war. And I read something the other day where a person outlined the way it would be, a nuclear war, and the thing would end up in a tie. Because it's not going to be nuclear war in the next time. Am I saying the Lord will give a nuclear bomb on some country? It could happen. Especially with these people that rule these countries that are demonized. But that's not the way the Lord's going to end this. The Bible says that the earth and the heavens will pass, but a fervent heat. And that heat is not coming from Russia. It's going to be fire that comes down from God himself. And I'm telling you, a man can push buttons all he wants, but God has the final say on this. And I personally believe it will not be annihilation that way. Amen? You know, we got all kinds of doctrines that are being taught by the media. You know, we've heard so much about climate change. David Wilkerson one time said they're going to get the climate change. They want. He said it's going to be in the judgments of God. That's the climate change they're going to get. And what is that? Man trying to use his scientific mind to outsmart God.
Yeah.
God has us all figured out, doesn't he? And I don't think climate change is in the picture at all. Amen. Praise God. And verse 11 says, having the glory of God and her light. But let's go up further, please. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, I don't know if the COVID is one of the seven. My personal feeling is an introductory of what's coming. But something is going to happen. And I'm not convinced that the church has been elevated to see the city of God through this. I remember when we had a flood in the back of our church. People being taken out of boats. And our church wasn't touched. And Action News was right on my property. And this lady stood next to me. And I'm standing there. And she said, I see Bert Collard. He's the pastor of House of Red Fellowship Church. Boy, he's probably, and she turned to me and she said, he's probably going to preach a judgment, a fire brimstone message. I said, isn't he? Well, I said, since I'm him, I'm going to preach about the mercy of God. And then my church is the only building on this street that he get touched by the flood. And we had two major floods. In order to get to my secular job, I had to go up to this high mountain. Thank God for the high mountains of God. In order to get to work, I had to take a road that took you you felt like you were going to Mount Everest. And as I looked down at the city, and I saw all the city flooded on my way to the job, the song came to me. And then what David said, he said, when the floods come in the earth, even the floods that come into my soul, God will lift me above them. And I began to weep, and I'm thanking God for Zion, which is the place of refuge, where we can stand upon Zion. How was Noah protected? On the mountain. It landed on the mountain. And that's where our protection is in this hour. Amen? So God doesn't want it to be another plague that we haven't seen the truth of the matter. But at the end of the seven plagues, the writer sees that something's coming. And it's the beholding of the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And then he goes on to say about the wall, and so on and so forth. Let's go down to verse 15. And he talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof. And the wall thereof. Now the emphasis here is on the wall and the gates. It's very important to know what the wall and the gates represent in the city of God. And the city lieth four square in length, as large as breadth, and over the city of God is endless. It can't be measured by man. It can only be measured by God. And he measured the city with 12,000, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. All equal. What God's saying is, I don't want you to have just a little sprinkling of faith, a little sprinkling of grace, a little sprinkling of truth. I want you to also put in holiness in there. I want you to put sanctification. I want you to put revelation in there. And I want you to put in surrender in there. I don't want you just to make it the way you want to make it. God is looking for the full measurement in the church. Everything that is good and is of Christ in the Word, I want to have in my life. I don't want nothing left out. So when people come near me, they smell Jesus and not work with Lord. Amen.